Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Finally fucking made it. Welcome to another episode of the Freaky as Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and it has been an absolute pain in my ass trying to get this episode up, but I'm here now. It's 2022. Let's forget about all the old shit and let's start planning big moves. If you heard a cat just now, no, you didn't. Okay. Thank you. Anyways, I hope that this year is good to you, and I hope that all of your dreams and wishes are fulfilled. So in typical freaky as fuck fashion, I'm here to tell you a very traumatizing tale that is sure to make you sick to your stomach. So are you excited? Because I surely am. Actually, no, I'm not. This story is just oof. So, trigger warnings, really, because there's a lot of them. So please listen at your own discretion. We will be mentioning things such as gruesome crime scenes, sexual assault, torture, animal abuse. So, you know, continue on with caution. But today I'm going to be talking about Las Boquianchis. So from 1945 to 1964, the young women of Guanajuato and Jalisco were not safe. Las Boquianchis were snatching up all of the poor, vulnerable girls and forcing them to work in their brothels. The number of confirmed victims that were slain by the hand of Las Boquianchis is 91, but there is a possibility that they had killed up to at least 150 people. Delfina Maria del Carmen, Maria Luisa, who was also known as Eva, and Maria de Jesus were all sisters. The four Gonzalez Valenzuela sisters were born in the capital of Guanajuato, Irapuato. Their father was named Isidro Torres. He was an abusive alcoholic who would often beat his daughters, as well as their mother, whose name was Bernardina Valenzuela. She was also said to have been something of a religious fanatic. So Isidro was part of a Porfirista police force called Los Rurales, and he would often force his daughters to watch the torture and execution of several detainees all throughout their childhood. Eventually, the family was forced to flee to El Salto, Jalisco, after Isidro shot an alleged criminal several times in the back during an attempted arrest. This is when the family adopted the surname Gonzalez in order to avoid reprisals from the father's enemies. And at some point, Isidro left his family to continue with his life on the run. After both parents had died, the eldest daughter, Delfina, was given a small inheritance, which she used to open up her own family business. Along with her sisters, Delfina opened up a cantina in El Salto, where they offered up the services of the young women that they had abducted from the streets. This place wound up being very successful and stayed open for a while, actually, until a fight had broken out which involved authorities, and ultimately the cantina was shut down. In 1954, Delfina decided to reopen another branch of the business in Lagos de Moreno, Jalisco, and this business was called El Guadalajara de Noche, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It was a brothel. Guests were able to rent rooms to partake in the services, and just like their previous endeavor, business was a boomin', and the Valenzuela Gonzalez sisters were making a shit ton of money. Before I had mentioned that their father, Isidro, worked for a Porfirista police force, Well, Porfiriato or Porfirismo is a word used to describe a time in Mexican history, November 28th, 1876 to May 25th, 1911, to be exact. And this was the term of presidency for Porfirio Díaz. General Díaz's regime followed a strict policy of order and progress, and that was absolutely no questioning it. Either you followed orders quietly or you were forced to submit. It was a very totalitarian type of government, and this obviously affected the people of Mexico at the time. So this Porfiriato way of thinking rubbed off on a lot of its citizens, and you can definitely see it in the way the Los Pocuyanchis ran their brothels. Similar to the peonage used during Porfiriato, the sisters would charge the women they kidnapped for food and clothes and things of that nature at ridiculously high prices, making it nearly impossible for them to pay the money back. So the girls would wind up working in the brothels to, quote, pay back their debt, unquote. The Valenzuela Gonzalez sisters would lure in young women off the streets with promises of good paying jobs and stability, only for them to be forced to work in their brothels. After spending some time in the business and making connections, the sisters began working with kidnappers all around Mexico to bring them literal children to work for them. Their victims ranged from the ages of 12 to 15 years old. These girls were raped, abused, and were exploited by the sisters on a daily basis until they reached the age of 25. Then they would be shipped off to a ranch to be tortured one last time over the span of several days, and they were ultimately murdered in the end. Some of the girls were even often manipulated into taking part in the killings of the other girls. If one were to become pregnant while working for Los Pocuyanchis, then they would be forced to have an abortion. And if somehow the child survived and came to full term, the child would be immediately killed. So Guadalajara de Noche was run by Delfina and Maria del Carmen. It had eventually shut down, and the two sisters decided to run to Guanajuato to meet up with their other sister, Maria de Jesus, who had also been playing a hand in the sex trafficking game. The three decided to pull their funds together to open up a business, and thus La Vaca de Oro was born. The place that the sisters had purchased was previously a cantina owned by a man that went by the name of El Pocuyanchis, and that's essentially how the sisters obtained their nickname. Since La Barca de Oro was rarely actually called that, it was better known as the Brothel of Las Pocuyanchis. So they just kind of adopted the name and they wound up hating it, but really, who gives a shit? They also opened up another branch of El Guadalajara de Noche in San Francisco de Rincon. However, in 1962, the municipal authorities of León passed a law and all brothels and cantinas were forced to close down. This is when Delfina, Maria del Carmen, and Maria de Jesus bought a ranch to make their center of operations. This ranch was called Lomo de Angel, and it's where they continued their business as usual for a few more years. In 1963, word started to circulate that Los Pocuyanchis were starting to dabble in Satanism. They were told that with the help of satanic ritual, they could become untouchable and rich beyond their wildest dreams. So they began forcing their new captives to partake in an initiation that included animal sacrifice. They also began selling the meat of the girls that they had murdered on the market to the public. In 1964, one of the newer captives named Catalina Ortega managed to escape the ranch. After several days of hiding in the countryside, she eventually made it to the city where she immediately reported Las Pocuyanchis to the authorities. This was a very risky decision on her part, as these police officers she reported them to could have easily been on their payroll. However, you know, lucky enough, that wasn't the case. Several police were dispatched to La Guadalajara de Noche and the ranch, where they discovered the gruesome truth of Las Pocuyanchis. They were horrified to find many of the girls malnourished, abused, and deathly ill. They discovered the several dead bodies and pounds of human flesh that was waiting to be sold. Needless to say, Los Boquianchis were immediately arrested, and lynch mobs surrounded the prison that Los Boquianchis were being held at, mainly consisting of the angry parents of the young women who died at their hands. They were eventually transferred to a prison in Irapuato in order to protect them from the many people who wanted them dead. They were sentenced to 40 years in prison after being charged for kidnapping, human trafficking, and aggravated homicide. Delfina swore her innocence until the day of her death. She had died by some freak accident while she was in prison when 30 kilos of cement mixture fell on top of her head. Apparently, she suffered for about 15 days until she finally died. Sucks to suck is all I have to say. Maria del Carmen died of cancer while she was in prison, and Maria Luisa died while in asylum. Maria de Jesus was the only one to live out her sentence, and once she was released, she fell off the face of the earth, essentially, and wound up dying sometime during the mid-90s. Supposedly, she wound up living a quiet life till her death, so. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the absolutely horrific tale of Los Boquianchis. Honestly, researching this topic was the absolute worst. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. And this was definitely a very watered-down version of the story. So there's just so much graphic detail that goes into this one, and I'm okay with going on with the rest of my life without knowing those details. However, it is important to tell because, you know, it's tragic what happened to these girls. Sex workers and runaways are easy pickings for the foulest of people because of how vulnerable they are, and people are not afraid to feed on that, unfortunately. For those looking to cause harm, it's easy to dehumanize someone who's living off the streets because they look at them and they think, well, no one's gonna be looking for this one, so. I definitely think these stories are important to tell because it gives a voice to those that never really had one to begin with. So if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, let's talk about it on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at FreakyAFPod. That's FreakyAFPod. And you can also email FreakyAFPodcast@gmail.com. And if you could do me a huge solid by leaving us a 5-star rating or review on wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. So, happy 2022. I will see you guys next week. Bye.